Turn to Proverbs 10:18. Nice to actually get to cover two for a change. Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Let's look at that first part. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. I'm going to define a few words here. Hatred is the condition or state of relations in which one person hates another. The emotions or feeling of hate, active dislike, detestation, enmity, ill will, malevolence. Hatred was the condition of where one person hates another. To hate is to hold in very strong dislike, to detest, to bear malice to, the opposite of to love. Hate, the noun, where it says, the feeling of hate there in hatred. So the noun hate is an emotion of extreme dislike or aversion, detestation, abhorrence, hatred. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips. Lying lips, and this is the first definition, when we're speaking of a person or his lips, etc., that tells lies. So lying lips are lips that tell lies, which you probably figured that out without me even telling you. A lie is an act or instance of lying, a false statement made with intent to deceive, a criminal falsehood. And to lie, the verb, is to tell a lie or lies, to utter falsehood, to speak falsely. Okay, so probably a bunch of stuff that you already knew, but it's nice sometimes to get the definitions out in front of us. So there are people out there who make false, misleading, and deceitful statements to conceal their enmity, malice, ill will, and malevolence towards others. And this is what this verse is talking about. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. These people are very dangerous. People that hate you and don't mind that you know that they hate you is not so bad, right? I mean, it's not nice to be hated, but at least you know if somebody hates you, you can avoid that person. You don't have to deal with them. You know where they're coming from. You know if they come around, you don't want to turn your back on them, right? But the guy that hates you but then lies, either to you or others, so that he keeps you from knowing that he hates you, that's a very dangerous person. Proverbs 26 actually has a lot to say about this, and we're just going to go through a few of these verses. And we're going to see that these kind of people dissemble with their lips. Proverbs 26 and verse 24. See, a lot of times, though, these kind of people, if they're good, are very clever. Sometimes they're even charismatic. They may even make you think that they like you. So not only do they lie to you to hide their hatred, but they might actually trick you into thinking that they like you, not that they just tolerate you. And those are the ones that are extremely dangerous. Proverbs 26 and verse 24 says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. To dissemble means to alter or disguise the semblance of one's character, a feeling, design, or action, so as to conceal or deceive as to its real nature. To give a false or feigned semblance to cloak or disguise by a feigned appearance. Putting on a show, in other words, making it look like you're somebody that you're not. I think Judas Iscariot was one such person, because Jesus, in prophecy, he was said to be his own familiar friend. Judas made it look like that he was a friend of Christ, but he raised up his heel against him. He hated him without a cause, and kept that a secret for a long time. We'll look here at Judas in just a minute. These types speak fair, but there are abominations in their hearts. Verse 25, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Fair, the adjective, is beautiful to the eye, of pleasing form or appearance, good looking. Of language, diction, which is how we are, how it's used here, it means elegant, hence fair speaker. Of external manifestations, words, which is, this would be an example of that, promises, it is attractive or pleasing at the first sight or hearing, specious, plausible, flattering. So when he speaketh fair, when he speaks elegantly, when he speaks attractive words to you, good words, fair speeches, the Bible calls it, believe him not. And usually if somebody's really laying it on thick, then there's probably some other ulterior motive going on. So you can kind of figure when somebody's speaking to you in too nice and too attractive of language, flattering you and telling you things about yourself that make you feel really important, the guy may have an ulterior motive. He may actually hate you for some reason. This guy's hatred is covered by deceit, it says in verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. It'll eventually come out. People like this, they will be exposed for who they are. But sometimes it takes a while. His hatred is covered by deceit, which is the action or practice of deceiving, concealment of the truth in order to mislead, deception, fraud, cheating, false dealing. So these liars may lie to your face to hide their hatred of you, or they may lie to others about their feelings about you to keep them from discovering their hatred. He that hideth hatred by lying lips, it could be lying to you, could be lying to others about you. It just depends on, you know, on how deeply the deception needs to go. Now, such people will pretend to be your friend with outward displays of affection to hide their hatred. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'd much rather get wounded by my friend. And the wound here is what David spoke of when he said, let the righteous smite me. It should be a kindness. Let him reprove me. It should be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. That's the kind of a wound. It's not talking about an actual physical harmful wound or even a psychological wound that would be done to harm, but it's the wound that hurts, but is necessary to correct you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And just think of Judas. Remember what Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Matthew 26 and verse 49, you're familiar with that, how Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Watch out for stuff like that.
The friend's wounds are designed to make you better.
Yes. It's, you know, it says in Proverbs that the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, which is talking about a bruise. And parents would wound their children in that way. It's not a wound, a permanent wound, or anything excessive. But that is the kind of wound that's given in love. But the kisses of an enemy to try to get on your good side so then he can stab you in the back, that's another story. So we ought to pray to be delivered from lying lips and deceitful tongues of those that hate us. Psalm 120 and verse 2. Now a lot of us are blessed enough, fortunate enough, not to have people like this in our lives. I don't know of anybody that I actually know that hates me. I got a lot of people on the internet that hate me. But I don't know of anybody that I actually know that does. And I'm thankful for that.
You're not supposed to.
Well, that's the thing. I do have all these people telling me I'm the greatest pastor in the world, though. But other than that, I mean, it seems like everybody loves me. So, no, if anybody ever says that to me, I know that they're out. They're going to stab me in the back or something. But Psalm 120 and verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. So it's a good thing to pray to be delivered from, especially because if it's a deceitful tongue, by definition, you might not recognize it as such because it's deceitful, right? It's somebody, they're using subterfuge. They're hiding their intentions from you. God knows the heart, but we don't always know that. Here's another thing, though, another angle on this. We're tending to look at he that hateth hatred by lying lips and thinking about these other evil people that hate us that are hiding their hatred by lying lips. But guess what? It can go the other way, too. You could be the one that hates, and you could be the one hiding your hatred by lying lips, and you want to guard against that and pray that the Lord would deliver you from that, too. Because what happens if you have a root of bitterness in you, Hebrews 12 and verse 15, it will cause hatred. And then you might cover up that hatred with lying lips. I've had people get bitter with me. I don't know if they flat out hated me or not, but get bitter and resentful. And then I ask the person if there's something wrong. What's wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. Hiding hatred, the lying lips. Don't have enough courage to tell you there's something wrong. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So you want to be careful that this is not true of us. Those who hide hatred through lies and deceit are fools, as the verse goes on to say. This is one of those proverbs where it's not a comparison proverb. Most of the proverbs will say something, usually something good, and then have the second part a comparison. It's usually followed by but or and or something, and then there'll be something bad. In this case, it is altogether. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So to finish up this part of the verse, we actually have to use the last part of the verse. So if we put it together, he that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool. Somebody that does that, somebody that would deceive and flatter you to hide their hatred, is certainly a fool. I will define fool here for you in just a second. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. A slander is the utterance or dissemination of false statements or reports concerning a person or malicious misrepresentation of his actions in order to defame or injure him. Calumny, defamation. So in addition to lying to you or to others to conceal their feelings of hatred towards you, wicked people will also spread malicious false statements about you to try to ruin your reputation. So their lies are twofold. They accomplish two different things. They lie to conceal their hatred from you. So they tell you that they like you. They pretend like there's nothing wrong and they're friends with you. Maybe they lie to other people and tell other people how they think you're a good guy or, you know, that you and they like you or whatever. But then to somebody else, they're telling other lies, and those other lies are slanderous lies. So maybe you got a guy and you got a group of people that are all pretty close, and you got this guy that hates you, and he lies to you to conceal his hatred. He lies to the other friends in the group to conceal his hatred so they don't know. But then to people outside the group, he's out there spreading lies about you and slandering you. This person's a fool. Both those who hide hatred through lying lips and slanderers are fools. A fool is one deficient in judgment or sense, one who acts or behaves stupidly, a silly person, a simpleton. In biblical use, applied to vicious or impious persons. Now this is a case where this type of a fool would certainly, this definition would apply to this type of a fool. In biblical use, applied to vicious or impious persons. A person that would lie about you to conceal his hatred is a vicious person. He's not just a stupid person. Fools are stupid, but this guy's worse than stupid. He's evil. Somebody that would slander you and say false things about you, that's not just a stupid person, not just a silly person, not somebody that doesn't have judgment, a vindictive, a wicked, vicious person. So you want to be very cautious to not repeat rumors about people which you do not know the truth of for certain, right? Because that's what slander is. If you are giving false statements or reports and misrepresenting somebody's actions, that's slander. Now, specifically if you're doing it maliciously, but it's still slander if you are saying false statements about somebody else. You want to be really careful about that. So if you hear some dirt about somebody, don't repeat it. You shouldn't be listening to people that are talking about some dirt about somebody else anyway. An angry countenance will drive away that backbiting tongue. But you definitely don't want to repeat those things. And sometimes we hear people like to blab, and I hear things. I mean, I've heard lots of people say things about other people, and I don't generally. I shouldn't anyway. I hope I don't. I try to make it a point to never repeat those things because you can end up being a slanderer yourself if you don't know for sure that the thing is true. If you disseminate false information about somebody, you are a slanderer and therefore a fool. And what slanderers and deceitful liars need is a severe beating, because that's what fools need. Proverbs 26 and verse 3. And if we had biblical government, that would be exactly what they would get. And I'll show you that in just a second. Proverbs 26 and verse 3. It says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. He that uttereth a slander is a fool, and the solution to that is a rod across the back. And even in this depraved culture that we live in, I don't think you can really be prosecuted for lying to somebody unless it's under oath. But if you lie about somebody and you defame their character, you can be sued for defamation of character. I mean, sued big time. Alex Jones, right now I just saw in the news, he's been sued, and I think that the plaintiff was awarded, tens of millions of dollars, huge amounts of money, because he denied that the Sandy Hook school shooting ever happened, and one of the parents of the children that allegedly were killed there has sued him for defamation, pretty much. Was it 44? It was a huge, huge sum. And that Nicholas Sandman, that guy, he was that kid that in the Covington High School, he was down there in Washington, D.C., at a pro-life rally, and that Indian fool came up and was beating his thing right in his face and all this, and the media made it out to that this Sandman was mocking this guy, and they totally, all the mainstream media ran all these stories that he was some white supremacist. He sued, I forget which one it was, and won big time, like $100 million or something like that. So things like this are still upheld, I think maybe sometimes to the extreme, but you want to be careful what you say about others, because slanderers are fools and they deserve some severe punishment. Now, slanderers who are motivated by hatred are dangerous and sometimes deadly. Psalm 31 and verse 13. Psalm 31 and verse 13. It says, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. So these are very dangerous people. And people like that who would lie about you to take away your life, and they could do that, right? They could lie and say that you raped somebody, you killed somebody, you did something terrible, and end up having, you know, you charged with a capital crime. That kind of thing happens. People get set up. People that would do that should be rid of the land. And if we had good rulers, they would be rid out of the land, like David. Psalm 101, verses 3 through 8. Psalm 101, verses 3 through 8. I mean, think about it. You had this in the New Testament. Stephen, they couldn't resist the words that he spoke. And what did they say? He ceases not to teach against this place and to say we ought to forsake the customs and so on. And he speaks against this place, the temple. And they ended up getting all the people riled up, especially when Stephen defended himself and gave his defense, and they killed him. You got Nabal. Nabal wasn't going to sell his vineyard to Ahab. Naboth, not Nabal. Nabal wouldn't have sold it either, but for other reasons. But Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard to Ahab. And Jezebel, what did she do? She set him up. She just put him up on high and brought these accusers out and said that he blasphemed God. I forget what she said. Anyway, he did something terrible, and they killed him. This is somebody that would slander to take away somebody's life, like David was talking about here. Well, here's the solution for that. Psalm 101, 3 through 5. This is a psalm of David, king of Israel. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. That means execute. David wasn't going to put up with that kind of stuff. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I would love to live under a King David. The population would be considerably lower than it is now, I think, or people would start behaving themselves, one of the two. But you know what? David is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that this psalm is a type of the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. And there will be no liars, no slanderers, no wicked people like that in the new earth when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning there. There will be perfect peace and justice, and all the wicked will have been rooted out of it. In Revelation 22 and verse 15, this will be the last verse for tonight. Revelation 22, 15 says, for without, this is outside the city, outside the New Jerusalem, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There are going to be no liars in the new earth, no slanderers. There are going to be no people that are hiding hatred with lying lips. It's just going to be all good, righteous, godly, holy people. And you never, if somebody comes up and gives you a compliment, you never have to wonder, is he buttering me up? Right? It's just going to be a happy place, and I look forward to that. All right, that takes care of verse 18.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.